God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You know as much as I do right now about the death of the United Healthcare CEO. I mean, all of us are guessing, except for one or two people. I mean, the guy who did it knows why he did it. And if there were people surrounding him, they know why they had him do it, if in fact it was someone paid to do it. So I don't want to play the game where because I get to speak into a microphone, I know more than you do. That's a silly game. You've probably already drawn some conclusions or perhaps some interest, some suspicion. But I want to remind you of something else. There were two men who talked about Boeing and the problems at Boeing. One of them, named Joshua Dean, was about to receive a whistleblower settlement. Money. A lot of it. So he decided to kill himself rather than receive the money. He was ruled a suicide, a self-inflicted gunshot wound, just prior to receiving a whistleblower payoff. Another man died suddenly. He'd also raised severe questions about Boeing's safety. John Barnett, he died from a severe bacterial infection suddenly. Both of these things happened in short order around a period of time where Boeing, that has fallen into complete corruption, was facing huge criminal fines. Criminal fines can lead to criminal charges of individuals, can lead to wealthy people going to prison. Boeing, of course, is making money hand over fist out of Ukraine, even as their profits sink behind the weight of DEI, and as the street would say, Wall Street putting lipstick on pigs. My friend Zach Abraham is Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. He's on my podcast once a week. Zach had blown the whistle on Boeing about 8 years ago, simply by having his analysts look at the actual company. So they went and talked to employees. Employees said they're going to get people killed. They're taking an aircraft that should be a new aircraft. They should build one from scratch. And they're monkeying together an aircraft that is going to be a Frankenstein. They're not teaching pilots how to fly it. They have to work on all this software to manage wings that shouldn't be managed this way. And there's going to be real problems. So Zach issued a report. And he gave guidance to the people who invest money on our behalf. Zach, by the way, manages my money. Just so you know, I'm talking about someone with whom I have a business relationship. Zach said that was the only time he ever became concerned about an analysis that his company did. Because he started to get phone calls from people saying, are you sure you want to take that position? See, Boeing is very cozy with the defense industry. And the defense industry, as we've learned, is sadly corrupt. I mean, the Pentagon has never successfully passed an audit. They just keep losing track of $60 billion here and $90 billion here. Gosh, where'd it go? So when I look at the United Healthcare CEO's death, this murder, Brian Thompson, number one, I failed to pray for his family. Right off the top of the bat, failed. I do pray for his family. I pray that Mr. Thompson knew the Lord. But I can't help but have my own suspicions. He was shot, not at the hotel where he was staying, because he wasn't staying at the Hilton. There was a half-hour window when he was going to arrive at the Hilton for this high-level meeting. Someone apparently was laying in wait, knew what he looked like. And you could look at this and say, it seems a professional hit. Here's why I might say this. Lying in wait, face covering. In New York, people still wear masks, black and otherwise. This guy was apparently wearing a black mask. Gray clothes allows you to hide body features, body weight, definition of body. A backpack, perhaps to change clothes in. A bicycle to get away in New York. That's a slick one. That's smart. Headed into Central Park where there'd be a place to secret yourself and to change clothes and to dump the bike. Maybe burn the clothes you'd been wearing so you get rid of the DNA. So if this was a professional hit, and no one knows, it might have been an upset customer of UnitedHealthcare. We had a really bad experience with UnitedHealthcare or some other really good ones, to be fair. If it was a hit, could it be that Brian Thompson was going to be one of the latest in healthcare to come in and say, so we were wrong to force people to get injected with the COVID shots. We were wrong. An Australian lawmaker fell into tears during a two-minute discussion on this. He fell into tears as to how wrong they were. He couldn't continue to speak. Almost 40 seconds in a two-minute video of him trying to gather his emotions. So we don't know, and at this point you know as much as I do, but I wanted to remind you of the Boeing deaths. Because Boeing still denies, of course, they had anything to do with this. And there's still the police saying, no, it was a suicide. And then there's me saying, I don't believe that people waiting a huge monetary payoff kill themselves. I just don't. See, all of this communicates a lawlessness. I'm a big, big proponent of the idea that Satan runs his organization like an army. So he's got generals of tens, colonels of thousands. And he himself, of course, sits atop this all as the chief liar, thief, and murderer. And I also believe that he carries out military-like work, such as prepping an environment. When the lawless one comes, and the Bible says he will, therefore he will, it would be better if he doesn't come in as a shock to the system. That, oh my gosh, this guy's completely lawless. We can't have this. So Satan, I think, is prepping this environment where lawlessness is just accepted. The other day, I did a video going through some of the testimony that's been given in Congress where people refuse to answer the questions of elected lawmakers. And I simply said that when if Republicans actually succeed in taking over the House, because right now, the state of California is desperately trying to steal the House. They're still counting votes. Did you know that, right? 3.5 weeks after the election, they're still counting votes. They just gave a seat to someone else. They finally counted enough votes so their guy won. If Republicans have control of the House, one of the things they should do is say to people who are going to come and testify in the House, government employees, evasive answers are a way of showing contempt for Congress. We're going to ask you to read the following materials and to have confirmed you have read them and then come in. And when you don't answer our questions and you're being evasive, we're going to give you a warning. You're being evasive. That's contempt. If the evasion continues, we're going to have the House Sergeant at Arms come and arrest you and put you downstairs in the jail cell until you agree to come and either take the Fifth or answer the questions. And someone wrote to me on YouTube and said, oh, like Republicans never refused to answer the question. I wrote back and said, how interesting. Because I said in my video that, of course, Democrats would be able to use these same powers. But lawlessness being the norm creates a prepped environment for the lawless one. And look, let's be honest about something. There are plenty of lawless Republicans who evade questions. But I think the Democrats are just far more advanced at being utterly lawless, utterly unmoored from God's law, the ultimate law. I mean, the Democrats never really cared about the rule of law. Thanks for pretend figurehead Biden for pardoning Hunter. They can't even effectively pretend to care about it anymore.
In July of 2023, just after that plea deal fell through, this is what you said. I want to watch.
Do you think a pardon for his son would be a mistake?
Yes, and I don't think there's any chance that President Biden is going to do that, unlike his predecessor, who pardoned all of his friends and anyone who had any access to him. And I think you see that in this case, where he kept on, and Merrick Garland kept on, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney to investigate the president's son. If there is not an indication of the independence of the Department of Justice beyond that, I don't know what we could look for.
What does that feel like, watching yourself back then, reassuring people that Biden was not going to issue a pardon for his son?
Yeah, and I think that if that plea agreement and that plea deal had gone through, there would be no pardon. That was a satisfactory outcome.
It had already fallen
that
through.
Only was...
That was Representative...
When you reacted, this was when the deal had fallen through.
That was Representative Dan Goldman, who purchased his seat effectively in Congress using Levi's money. Did you see this? Did you hear that? See, I think Satan is prepping the environment for lawlessness. It's to be the norm. And armies do this. Psychologically prepping a populace is something they do. The only conservative on CNN destroyed their panel of Biden sycophants on the topic of the Hunter Biden pardon.
Every American, except the most partisan, brain-rotted people, are going to be outraged by this today. He is going to leave off. You think 38-39% job approval is bad? Just you wait. Just you wait. He's disgraced.
Scott,
disgraced today. Outrageous.
But Scott, you don't need to hurl names and say people like me are brain-rotted. Come on. That's a little beyond the pale, even for you, Scott.
Listen,
I stand up for yourself. You don't have to defend this. He's leaving office. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to die on this hill. You can say this is wrong because everybody knows that it is. It's wrong. Are you fine with the lying? Are you fine with him sitting before the election all year and lying to the American people? Are you fine with the lying about it?
I don't think that he was lying. I think he made a decision after the fact and decided this was the right thing for him and for his family. Period. Full stop.
Well, he had always known the option existed to do this. Whether or not it's lying, it's something that he promised to not do. That makes it now a lie. The chief liar and thief wants lawlessness and lying to be the norm. And part of this is about winding down, grinding down of people's minds. Part of it is about grinding us down in terms of our energy to fight back. May I offer a suggestion? I fail at this every day. So sometimes I have to remind myself, or sometimes I think God says, hey, dude, chill for a second. Remember something. You're not in the storm. The storm is around you. The winds are swirling all around you. There are absolutely evil spirits all around, fighting for this power and this lawlessness. And yeah, it's very aggravating to see figurehead Biden flying to Africa to hand out $1 billion for people whose homes are damaged when people in Western North Carolina still can't get help. I was just looking at a video of a woman who's been living in a hotel with her two relatives since the hurricane, and FEMA won't talk to her? A one-room hotel room? Let's remember this. We are in this world, but not of it. We see the storm. We need to pray. We need to let God work through us. But let's do this. Let us remember lawlessness is not the norm where we truly belong, which is in the arms of the Lord Jesus and the new heaven and the new earth. So let's look at this as bizarre, but utterly expected on this earth. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. The thing Peter did, walked on water until he did what I just did, got distracted, looked down. We'll come back with a really important Supreme Court hearing that's going on right now, oral arguments that could stop the chemical and surgical mutilation of kids, at least in Tennessee. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. My wife is to this day deeply emotionally impacted by the lies of transgenderism because of what we saw when our daughter was in the family and teen or adolescent mental health system, and the insanity of watching parents having to leave their home states so that their kids were not seized by child protective services and transed, chemically and surgically altered against the will of the parents with kids who are 12 or 13 years old. And if anyone tells you this is a brand new thing, I'm here to tell you with testimony of parents that we got to know, they're wrong. Most of them are wrong. Some of them are lying, but most of them are just wrong. The battle in the Supreme Courts, the oral arguments about this situation in Tennessee, where the government in Tennessee, the elected representatives have said, like tanning booths and like ear piercings, kids cannot go get wrong sex hormones and surgery in the states without parental permission. They've gone a step further and even said with parental permission. Not going to do this. Won't allow it. So like some other things, like smoking, parents don't get to let their kids smoke in the state of Tennessee. They can't say, well, we as parents have overridden the decision. We as parents have overridden the decision that our kids have to be 21 to drink alcohol. We as parents have overridden the decision that our kids have to be 16 in order to drive alone. And the argument from the ACLU and others who seek to destroy the fabric of society so that the United States can be flattened and then rebuilt in the image of something other than our founders. And let's just not say that our country is built in the image of our founders, but rather founders who were inspired by God, not biblically, not like the Bible, but inspired by God to create a country where free to practice faith publicly. They weren't perfect men. They certainly weren't the apostles, who were not perfect either. But they were inspired to create a country with religious freedom. That has to be flattened. So in these oral arguments, they're going to make the case, the ACLU and others, that this violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. As near as I can tell, the law in Tennessee doesn't say only white kids are banned from this or only black kids. It says kids. And I don't think that it is blocking life, liberty, or property. It's not taking a kid's life. The data indicates that kids who get wrong sex hormones and surgery are actually more likely to continue to harm themselves and try to commit suicide, and sadly to get that done sometimes, than kids who are allowed to grow out of this gender confusion, the same way kids grow out of other forms of confusion. Let me offer this metaphor. I work with a group of three groups of young boys, and they range from high school age, some are high school graduates, recent graduates I mentor, some of them are ninth graders. You've never seen a more cringy group of people than ninth grade boys. I mean, I love these boys. And they're growing into men, young men. I'm very, very proud of their progress. But the stink of Axe deodorant and the way these boys carry themselves, all of them following after one another, all of them needing to front, all of them, hey, there's this thing that started a few weeks ago where the boys like to lean way back in their chairs. One guy did it. Now everybody does it. Now three or four guys have fallen over. And my co-lead and I, we just choose to make fun of it. Well, there you go. The fourth time you've fallen over, maybe one day you'll sit in the chair properly. I mean, pick your battles, right? The gender affirmation, transgender lie would say, that's how those boys should be for the rest of their lives. They should be frozen in time that way. They should be frozen in time with as someone who giggles anytime someone passes gas. That's the funniest thing that ever happens in junior high. It's a hilarious item. They can't stop laughing. It's so funny. One day they're going to look back at it and go, why did I ever find that funny? To freeze these kids in time at a time of mass confusion is a brutality. That's being heard in the Supreme Court. I want you to hear this note. And it's my wife posted this because she is so emotionally impacted by this that she still has trouble removing herself from it. It's PTSD. Look, when you've helped secret families across borders of states at night, as we've done multiple times, it can flat shock you. This is Dr. Andrew Zweck, medical doctor. He wrote on Facebook, or pardon me, I think this came from Twitter, moved over to Facebook. In 2022, I became aware of gender-affirming care in minors and found out that it was happening in my hospital. I filed a Supreme Court lawsuit inside of 30 days. This is called taking action and having integrity. I knew it would destroy my entire life, but better my life than one more child. Do not let fear of retribution stop you from doing what is right. Today, children will be psychologically tortured, convinced they're born in the wrong body by a doctor in a position of trust and authority, and they'll be fed dangerous drugs and chemicals that cause irreparable harm to the body and mind. They'll be wheeled into fluorescently lit operating theaters and have their genitals irreversibly mutilated at the hands of a psychotic scalpel-wielding surgeon. This will happen in your city, in your state, in your country. Every moment you remain silent is a life sentence for another unsuspecting child simply searching for safety. I say this not to shame you, but to embolden you. Rise up and fight the most honorable, necessary, and righteous fight of our lifetime. The opportunity to be a hero is at your doorstep. Do not waste the chance to save lives by simply speaking truth. That's all it takes. The smallest flicker of light in such darkness is binding, and it will scatter all evil. And to all those who perpetrate this evil, I assure you, I've already seen the future because I'm quite literally writing it as I go, shaping it like copper blocks into wire. You will be held accountable. I have been hard at work. I hope he's also hard at work in understanding God put him in that position. I hope he understands that he's being used for righteousness, even if he doesn't yet know the Lord. Because the Lord cannot smile upon these activities. I mentioned it Monday, and I mentioned it yesterday. The demons called the Enchantress didn't take a break. That demon is still promising people the eroticism of choosing their own gender. And she's still a liar. Still. Now, people can say, I'm about to make a quantum leap. Because I'm going to go from the topic of the Supreme Court oral arguments today on this case in Tennessee involving the transing of kids to a teacher who sexually assaulted a 14-year-old student, a 23-year-old teacher. You could say it's a quantum leap. Is it? When there are no rules, what is forbidden? When all is allowed, nothing is forbidden. When God has been removed from the schools, what fills that space? Godlessness. I mean, God is still there, of course. He can still see and watch. But when the school authorities have said, nope, no God here, no Christian faith here, Satan can jump into that and say, that's my realm, and come and seize ground. And when authorities can tell a kid, you're born in the wrong body, why can't they say, you know what? Your body requires pleasure. That age thing doesn't matter. That's just a number. Your parents, who are bitter, clinging Christians, they don't understand how mature you really are. It's the talk of a pedophile. This is a news story, and it's a shocking one, and I learned about it through Libs of TikTok. It comes from a school district in North Carolina, and it's a school called Concord Lake STEAM Academy. Listen to the news story, and listen for some key phrases. A teacher showing kids images and then inappropriately sexually assaulting them. So here's the story. Kendra Woods, the so-called principal at Concord Lake STEAM Academy, was arrested for failing to report one of the school's teachers after he sexually abused a 14-year-old student.
According to Principal Woods' arrest report, she was taken into custody Tuesday for failing to report the abuse of a child who was only 14 years old. As we've worked to learn more about what happened, we requested personnel information from Concord Lake STEAM Academy. According to North Carolina law, some personnel information is required to be maintained and made public. After multiple attempts to acquire that information from the school's public relations firm, we went to the school where it's required to be kept. However, no one answered the door, and the doors were locked.
So the doors were locked, no one answered them, and the reporter did try to get in. But did you catch the part about what the teacher did? He disseminated images, indecent images, to a child. than he facilitated the child disseminating this information, these images. Think of it as pornography. And then he apparently has sexually assaulted a child. And then a teacher, pardon me, the principal, apparently covered it up. Let's go through a chain analysis. Had he been in the classroom showing a 14-year-old student pornographic images, that's very, very good. I mean, this is what we're told. This is the role of adults. Take a 14-year-old student aside and say, hey, let me show you some sex images here. Some people call this pornography. What do you think of it? Here's some to give to friends. Here's a website or two. How does that make you feel? And it leads to a teacher breaking down a barrier, bit by bit, time over time, breaking down a barrier, getting closer and closer, until one time that teacher says, the time is right. I think this student is prepped. I'm going to touch him or her. The classrooms are places where the environment is being prepped for people who choose to take advantage of kids. Do you remember how the program began? The prepping of the environment for the lawless one. Talking about the lawlessness of the murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. Don't know what happened. We know he was murdered. It could have been a professional hit. Looks that way to me. But then again, you know as much about this as I do. But I do know that there were two Boeing whistleblowers who died under incredibly suspicious circumstances at a time when one of them was about to receive a payout as a whistleblower, money he'd waited for a long time. He'd cost himself his job by warning about the company Boeing, choosing to not have good safety measures. Lawlessness in the schools, sexual lawlessness. In the states, biological, chemical, surgical lawlessness on the bodies of children. Can you see the connection? There is, a course, the lawlessness happening in certain churches. It's once again the job of Satan to shave off little edges. See, he wants a very smooth environment where he's barely noticed. He has this fantasy, and C.S. Lewis makes this clear in the Screwtape Letters. He loves having people, lukewarm Christians. He wants that. He wants people who go to Christian churches but aren't hearing the word of God, who do not hear the gospel, but man, they get to leave saying, I'm good. I have my hell insurance. He loves that. Jesus Christ said that against his church, the gates of Hades would not prevail. He didn't say against churches. He said his church. So Satan is going around and shaving off those horrible, tough edges, like the Ten Commandments. I mean, he's not yet touching you shall not steal. He sure is touching the others, shaving them down so they're a little smoother for him. The Sermon on the Mount, that's a problem for him. I tell you, if you have looked at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. He's got to shave that one down. The prohibitions against same-sex sexual activity, he's got to erase those, and so he's using the tool of fake compassion to do that. United Methodist Church invited a so-called woman with an apparent beard who says he is of the omnisexual persuasion to accuse heteronormative people of targeting their children and committing genocide against them.
Zelda is a transgender, non-binary woman of the omnisexual persuasion. A 2S, that means two-spirited, LGBTQIAA+, advocate, educator, filmmaker, podcaster, and lover of queer media.
Right, hold on. I wish I could stand up here and say things were going to get better, that sunny days were on the horizon, but unfortunately, we know that that's not the case. For the last year, we've been living under the sword of Damocles, and only recently, collectively, have we felt it as it came down on our necks, especially with the last election results. That being said, now is the time when we need to start rallying around one another, when we need to start looking for community, when we should reinforce our resolve and prepare for the next four 8, 16 years.
When you hear that man speaking as a two-spirit omnisexual human being, here's what that means. Utter spiritual capture. Two-spirit. There are two spirits living within him. One soul, but two spirits. See, I believe that Satan is not just prepping the environment for lawlessness, sexual and biological lawlessness. I think he also wants to normalize some things, like having a guest spirit. Our bodies, when we commit to the Lord Jesus, we agree that he is our Lord and Savior. We agree to be changed by him, to serve him. Part of that includes making disciples, I think. We become a housing place for the Holy Spirit to indwell within our temples. I think Satan is prepping the environment to say, no, it's very normal to have a familiar spirit or two living within you. Who doesn't want that? Look at all it frees you up for. You can be omnisexual too. I have an update on the final House seat. Yep. 3.5 weeks after the election, California has called that race. You'll never guess what happened. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View.
The Bible speaks to everyone, but Dr. Tony Evans says sometimes it can speak specifically to you. How can you tell the difference? We'll find out as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When the script is called the prophetic word, like in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's referring to the Bible not in its general sense, but in its specific sense to walk you through a specific problem. How do you know when you're getting an utterance, a specific utterance to your situation? When we were buying this little church here, and I was walking up and down the street, and I was just looking at all the land, and then I was reading the Bible, and I read Joshua chapter 1, and I was just having devotions over Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, "And I will give you this land. Every place on which your foot trods, this land will belong to you." Now, I've read Joshua chapter 1 100,000 times, and nothing happened those 100,000 times I read it, but when we were in a crisis, and we didn't know where we were going to get the money to buy the church, and we didn't have any place to meet, and on that crisis day, I was reading Joshua chapter 1, all of a sudden, "I will give you this land, every place on which your foot steps, that is what I am giving to you." All of a sudden, it's up in my grill. God is all up in my face. I knew on that day that I was reading Joshua chapter 1. God was not just giving me general verses for general devotions. He was giving me a rhema word, a prophetic utterance for my specific crisis situation.
Learn how to find the direction you need by surrendering control of your life to the Lord. Check out Tony's CD series, Let Go, Let God. Available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I have decided that, according to the standards of some today, I'm a little bit square. I guess this should be a major concern of mine, but it's not. Actually, it's just the opposite. I'm kind of proud of being a little bit square. I'm a little bit square because I believe in God. I believe in a personal God, one who cares about me. He hurts when I hurt and rejoices when I rejoice. He wants the best for me, and he wants me to do the best. He loves me even when I'm unlovely, and gives to me even when I'm unworthy. I'm a little bit square because I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ was the clearest expression of God's love that we have ever seen. I believe the Christian life is the highest known to mankind and the path God desires us to follow. I believe the Christian faith is a personal relationship between one person and his Christ, but that it also has to be expressed socially. I'm a little bit square because I believe in personal responsibility. I will not blame fate or circumstance for my lot in life. It is primarily what I have made it. I cannot excuse wrong on my part because of wrong on the part of another. I believe in the final analysis, life is what I have the guts and determination and faith to make it. I'm a little bit square because I want my children to be raised under the influence of the church. I know that the church is made up of imperfect people like myself, but I know that the knowledge and inspiration which comes from the church will be a great asset to my children in years to come. I'm a little bit square because I believe in treating other people in a manner that I would like to have them treat me. We call it the golden rule. I believe if it was practiced more, life would be better for everyone. I'm a little bit square because I believe in involvement. Apart from the universe, little else runs right because of its own motion. I believe if you want good government, you have to work for good government. I have no right to curse poor government if I have done little or nothing for the cause of good government. I'm a little bit square because I believe in giving a person a second chance. The best way to help someone who is down is to lend him a helping hand. None of us are without fault. We all have done wrong at some time. Therefore, if a person desires another chance to make a go of life, I believe he should have it and that his past should not be held against him. If God has forgiven and accepted him, then so must I. I'm a little bit square because I believe every person should be given an opportunity to prove himself. I feel it is wrong to judge one man by the actions of a group or a group by the actions of one man. Each person should be judged as a person by his own deeds. I'm a little bit square because I feel an obligation toward my fellow man. I feel we are all part of the family of man, and as such, should strive to make life better for all people. So I guess I'm a little bit square, but I'm not worried. You see, being square helps the pieces of life's puzzle fit together better.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you. If you've been listening through the whole show, which is rare, and if you have, number one, thank you for doing what we call listen through. Number two, if you're just tuning in, just God took the show over.
So Brady was playing something because we had a technical difficulty. So now you're back to the live Disciples View. Just before that happened, I promised to tell you what had gone on in the state of California. It's a shocker. Democrat challenger Adam Gray has flipped California's 13th congressional district in the nation's final House race. He won by a mere 187 votes this 3.5 weeks after the election. Those of us who come from forced mail-in states, such as the separate country of Washington State, see this happen all the time, and it's shocking how consistent it is. The Democrats count and 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 count. And then they count. And then they win. It'd be interesting to see if the Republicans fight this, because this cuts the Republican lead in Congress pretty precipitously. So we'll pay attention to how this all comes out. The Republicans should demand an investigation. And in fact, probably a recount and a hand recount and have cameras involved. I don't know that they'll do that. They'll probably just want to move on. On this show, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
More than half of this country voted for the criminal, still trying to figure out what happened.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. What are the most consistently ruinous actors on all of the deep state's side? Former Hillary Clinton flack Jake Sullivan pretends to care about the FBI directors being nonpartisan.
And what makes the FBI director different from most other nominees is they're not just appointed for one term of a president. They're appointed for enough time to last past two terms of a president because they're supposed to be insulated from politics. President Biden scrupulously adhered to that longstanding bipartisan tradition, and for a good reason, because the FBI director should not be subject to the whims of the twos and fros of politics.
Yes, scrupulously avoided that. I mean, I don't think that Jake intended to be funny, but it is funny. The FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop for 2 years, but scrupulously avoided any politics. Oh, second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. On World AIDS Day, lame duck figurehead Biden saluted his sociopathic Tony Fauci, who probably killed millions of same-sex attracted men with AZT.
A special thanks to one of the great public health officials, a true hero, who we've led this fight against HIV/AIDS, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Where is Anthony? And you're a good man. God love you. As my mother would say, God love you, Anthony.
There's a fantastic book called Fauci's First Crime, and it delves into the background behind AZT. And the assertion of the author, and he's not alone in this, is that AZT probably killed more same-sex attracted men than the effects of HIV. And that book makes the case, and many, many scientists make the case, that what AIDS was in the same-sex attracted community was a destruction of the immune system by men who were living a lifestyle of constant partying and indiscriminate sex, and a lot of drugs to cover that up, to cover up the effects, and over-indexing on antibiotics and destroying the body's immune system and probiotic system. AZT was so dangerous that the guy who created it refused to patent it so that pharma couldn't make money off of it. Later, Fauci would come along with something else called Remdesivir that had been kicked out of several countries and trials because it was deadly. And he would say, this is the only therapeutic for people who are suffering from the COVID flu. But yeah, a good man. Fauci, no. I do contend he has psychopathic, sociopathic tendencies. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. I guess it's okay for black women who consider themselves queer to say they're like all witches now. This is Wicked star Cynthia Erivo.
As a black woman who is queer, who shows up in like this way,
absolutely,
there's something that I have that many other alphabets don't have.
Of course.
They don't know what it is like to walk through the world like this. I do.
Yeah.
And so that innately, immediately makes me completely different. And the way he shot it, the way, like the space that he gave me to do it, is awesome.
On a personal note today, as we wrap up the Tower Babbling, I'm supposed to say this. I'm sorry. The technical problems caused me confusion. A Biden brain moment. Let me say it. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Can men get pregnant?
Mr. Chairman? Yes.
Define what a woman is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
There are people who identify women as different genders who are capable of getting pregnant. That is my position on this. I am not going to feed more into the bigotry of that question.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, there were many learnings my wife and I took away from our daughter's time in the teen and adolescent mental health system and the family system. Incidentally, if you are ever in the position of feeling forced to put your child into a treatment center and they do not address the family dynamic, run away. None of those places are perfect, and they all have challenges. And it's not going to be a good time for your kid. I just caution you to be very, very careful. We learned something about pathologizing. It's a fascinating thing that kids have this need to compete societally for popularity. It doesn't change in treatment centers. The currency changes. See, in schools, there's the currency of popularity. What does your girlfriend look like? What does your boyfriend look like? Where do you rank in terms of sports? Are you starting? Just think of this. So, hey, are you varsity? Yeah, varsity. Starter? Yeah, I'm a starter. Both sides, play offense and defense? Yeah, offense and defense. Skill position? It just keeps going up and up and up. Did you make all city? What about all region? All state? All national? There is the girls' version of that. Well, there's the athletics, of course, but then there's also the savagery of, hey, are your lips the right shape? Is your body the right size? What's your hip-to-waist ratio? What's your body fat percentage? There's the, are you funny? Do you get good grades? Those all affect cliques, and you find your place, and then you go through the contest. Some people pull out of the contest, so they choose to be different. Oh, I'm a cast aside. I'm a loser. Well, okay, so then you're going to join that group and you've got your structure. In treatment centers, all too often, there's a contest to be pathologized. I'm depressed with anxiety and attention deficit disorder and body dysmorphia. And I have multiple personalities. Kids will stack these pathologies up as currency. One of the things I insist upon when dealing with kids in these situations and in that situation of depression, anxiety, is I insist upon using transitory language. You are feeling depressed. You're in a season of anxiousness. If you take the label and say you have depression or you are depressed or you are ADHD, you are assigning an identity. Far better for us to describe a state of being, which is transitory. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. And so God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.